Hello and welcome to Insights, the CAE podcast. Well, welcome, Russ.
Hello.
Hey there. So, just as an introduction, so I've done a little sort of a offline introduction to this series, but with us both working from home, and it's obviously a bit of an ongoing theme for a lot of people, it's a good opportunity to share a call and specifically to discuss a topic that we think might be of interest to our customers. And one you and I have spent a lot of time working on jointly is around data migration. So I thought it's an opportunity to have that conversation.
Yeah, perfect. No problem at all.
I thought in the first instance it'd be great for everyone to understand your sort of role within CAE and some of the work you've done before.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Russell King. I've been in the industry now probably 16 years, I guess, which is kind of scary. I've been at CAE for 2 years, and then prior to that I worked for another data storage company and was there for around 14. I started actually in support and then sort of moved my way through support into sort of more of a technical role in the field, doing installs and so on, and then into project management. And now I joined CAE as a sort of a specialist within the data center team.
Fantastic. And I think you and I spend a lot of our time within customer projects focused on obviously storage projects initially, but digital preservation is a big emerging topic. And we also spend a lot of time working with customers and vendors in terms of products, but we often discuss between ourselves that people lead with products first, but the migration element is so important, and often sort of comes a bit secondary within a tender or within a request, and just how important it is to consider the migration, and there's obviously good ways of doing it and not so good ways of doing it. So I thought it was an opportunity maybe just to sort of call out your approach and some of the sort of past experience.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I mean, migrations are funny old things. You're absolutely right. People tend to focus on the hardware and procurement of the hardware when their current platforms become end of life or end of support, and then the migration is a sort of secondary thought. I think it's always there though in the back of people's minds, but it is a bit of a scary topic. But I've found because we've done quite a few now that actually, it's not as scary as you kind of think it is, as long as you execute, you know, good planning and one of the key things I think is knowing where your data is and how much you've got, and I think that's what people get a little bit scared about because they're not necessarily so sure.
So that was going to be my first question, I think. So again, when we're talking to customers now, we often talk around tiering, we talk around location of data, file types, yeah. Its accessibility. Is there a sort of a trigger list of things people should sort of look to as part of that planning exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. So you should look always, you know how much data you've got and how many files you've got. I know it sounds silly because you might have, 300 terabytes of file data, unstructured data, but you may have a million types of files or a billion types of files. And those things make a big difference in terms of how long a migration might take you. I think it's a fantastic opportunity as well when you get to this point to do cleansing of data. So you can look at your data and think, okay, what do we have? Where is it? And do we need to copy it over to our new platform? Or can we archive it? Can we actually delete it? Depends on, and that I guess is a business question and quite a tough question, I think, because your data is, for any business, is so valuable. And I guess people are kind of scared about deleting things or archiving things if actually people might want to access it. And so but it is a very good time to do that sort of thing, to look at your data.
Yeah, and I guess we've both experienced customers where there's a huge volume of data is probably just duplicate of email or long email threads for multiple people.
Yeah, no problem at all. And I think every business is going to be exactly the same as that. No question. I know in my Outlook, I've probably got, emails from you and emails from other people with the same attachments and so on and so on. So yeah, you're quite right. But there are, cleansing tools out there that can help you do that prior to any migration, but it is a perfect time to be thinking about those types of things, because what you don't want to be doing is copying someone's iTunes file across when you don't necessarily need to. So it's a good time to do that.
And so obviously we been doing this for quite a few years now. You've obviously got an examples of it going very well and examples of it being more drawn out as a process. Can you give us a couple of examples maybe of where it works, but not necessarily as best practices it could be, and likewise what best practice looks like?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the best examples, well, probably one of my first migrations that we ever executed, and that was for a business in the south of England. They in a tiny bit of background, they had an old legacy NetApp platform that they had across two locations, but it was under a managed service. The platform was coming to the end of its life, and they actually wanted to get away from the managed service. It was down to cost. They had their own kind of technical team, and they wanted to look after their sort of, I guess, their new platform themselves. They had their own data center, etc. So the plan was that we would supply them with the Isilon hardware, as it was at that time, and then we would then help them migrate from their legacy platform over to the new platform. The chosen path for the migration, mainly due to cost, by that business, was to use a free tool. There are probably people who are listening know there are lots of tools out there that you can use for migrations that you can just download, and in some instances they're great. You know, if you've got to move a couple of terabytes or so on, then they are really good. The main issue with them though is they're not scalable, so they don't, and they're kind of time consuming in the way that they're executed. So when you're talking about a migration of 1 to 2 petabytes, it becomes very, very complex to use those types of tools. I think though that people at the time, the decision was taken that actually to use an enterprise level tool, which we'll talk about in a minute, the cost sometimes when you initially get that cost can be a little bit scary. But I think if you weigh it up against the experience I've had in using the free tools, as I put it, against an enterprise tool in terms of the amount of resource that you have to use and the time and effort involved in using one of those tools to do a migration of that size, you absolutely appreciate the fact that there are these enterprise level tools out there and the reason why they do cost what they cost. And I think because data is so valuable now, it really is important to consider that when you do plan a migration. This particular project, we executed, I guess it took about 6 to 7 months to move that data across. The thing that we found was that because it was a free tool, they're just not designed to do that kind of scale of migration. So you don't get any reporting, you don't get any timeline, and you actually have to, as you're moving through the migration, build those timelines yourself so that you can execute your full migration, and then you can then subsequently do the what you call the incremental copies before the cutover to the new platform. The problem with that is that as a business, you kind of want to know, well, how long is the migration going to take? How long is the incremental going to take? And when do I need to execute my cutovers? With a free tool, you can't plan any of that. Or you can if you spend hours and hours actually trying to execute this and then timing it and then cutting it off and so on and so on. So it's very, very complex and very time consuming. And the effort involved and the resource involved, it at the end of the day, ends up costing you more because of just the way that they're executing, the way that migration performs. Subsequently, we've learned that after that migration, it was successful, by the way, and it worked, and we did it. Subsequently, we have executed additional migrations where we've used what you call enterprise level tools, where you pay per terabyte, and the difference is massive. They are designed to do that task, and then you find that you can report on that stage. You the level of risk is less. You feel more comfortable in what you're moving. The checksum validation, the risk of lost data is less. And you can actually plan and execute the cutovers. And then if you need to, if there is an issue, you can roll back to your old platform and then start that planning process again and then execute it. So it is much, much better to use those sorts of tools, definitely.
And just because you mentioned checksum, is I assume there's always a risk associated to migrating data of losing it on the march from one area to the next. So I guess, again, it's, as we discussed, data is critical to any organisation, and never more so than now. the level of reporting to ensure that data has migrated successfully, I guess, is only enhanced by an enterprise tool.
Oh, definitely, yeah, absolutely. And it's just being able to share with the business, because the business is sort of saying to you, well, you know, we bought this new hardware, when can we start using it? When can we start seeing the benefits of it? And if you're not able to tell them, well, the migration's going to take this long, then they kind of get a bit worried about it. And it is a risk. And the business need to know, well, we've invested in this, when is this going to be usable? And when you use an enterprise level tool, you can actually say, well, you know, at this point, we're going to do the cutovers. We can plan with the users and the people, the stakeholders in that business, of when they're going to start executing, when we're going to cut over, when the downtime is going to be. It just makes the whole experience a lot easier for them to manage, basically, which is always a good thing.
I guess bandwidth is the most obvious answer to this question, but what are the other things that actually impact the speed of migration?
Bandwidth is critical, but it's also when, if you're migrating from your existing platform to a new platform, can your network handle that migration as well as business as usual? Do you have to perform the migration out of hours? So are you limited to a set period in time? A lot of the migration, especially using the free tools, we found we had to sort of move the data in the evenings or in periods of time where the kit wasn't used. And if you've got hardware that is used 24/7, that's difficult. That's very difficult. So I think you, with the free tools, you can schedule that and you can set policies where the data is copied at a specific time, and then you could run incrementals at a specific time as well, which always helps. The key thing in any migration is to make sure that obviously the data gets pulled across in its entirety, but then it's copying any change data, any delta changes from the original platform over to the new, and then you can then schedule your cutovers. What you don't want to end up doing is performing a cutover, but then realizing that somebody has written something to your old platform, and then you've cut it over, and that data's lost. So I think it's understanding your network is key, really.
And is there any gains other than just functionality of, say, if you have your original environment and then your new environment, and you're migrating between them as two isolated environments, or maybe creating like one large data pool, and you sort of actively, you're almost like active, and you slowly migrate away from the old environment. Is there any benefit, or is it just a customer user experience?
Customer user experience, I think. Yeah, I think you know, before any migration, one of the key things that we always say is to look at your new environment and build and test your new environment. So, you know, if you've purchased a new file store from your Isilon, for example, and we're executing and building it for you, then the key element is to make sure that design is robust and that you've tested it prior to any cutovers. Because what you want to make sure is that you're confident in that platform before you go business as usual. That's key for me, I think. And if you've executed that and you've got a robust test plan, then actually, you know, moving the data across and then performing the cutovers should be seamless, because the users and your business shouldn't see any impact. In fact, they should see the benefits of moving across that new platform because of performance and accessibility and so on.
No, understood. And I guess the one word that comes up in every conversation these days is security. Is there a risk the data whilst it's been migrated, as it's physically, I guess, transporting from one environment to the next?
Only in terms of, I suppose, if you're... I get the good thing is that your original data is on your original file store. So what you're doing is you're just copying the data across. So if the network does drop, the with a free tool, you can be limited in terms of if you've moved some of the data across, then you break the network. You've got to kind of start again, which is difficult. With an enterprise level tool, that's not an issue. And I think as long as you're using a secure network, then using an enterprise level tool, there is no risk, really. It's just pulling the data across from one to the other.
No, perfect. So if somebody's at the start of a project, you and I spend a lot of time, particularly around unstructured data. So you've got your legacy piece of hardware. You're looking to, it's gone into life, end of support, whatever it might be. You're looking to that procurement for the next generation or maybe it's just an expansion. What are the sort of key parts of the process. So whilst they're also obviously doing an assessment in terms of product, in the background, someone should be doing an assessment in terms of the live environment they've got today, locations, file types.
Indeed, absolutely. Look, a good, like I said before, good robust design on the new hardware is really key. And I think we've got plenty of technical people in our organisation and the vendors that we work with who, you know, it is their job to make sure they understand that legacy environment. And to the absolute more than probably what the customer does. And I know it sounds a bit, but it is absolutely critical that we do that. And once you've done that, then you're confident in that when you put your new hardware in, it's going to meet the requirements and exceed the requirements, really. Because what you want to do is you never want to tell your stakeholders, well, it's going to be blistering and absolutely fantastic. But actually, when you 9 times out of 10, when they do go across to the new platform, it does exceed their expectations, especially with the new technology that's there in say your generation 6 Isilon to previous generations or other NAS boxes, for example. So I think it is really key to make sure that your design is robust and then you're confident in when you migrate the data across.
So I guess what you're saying, in many ways, picking a tool, some may be cheaper than others, some may be free, as you said. But it could be a false economy associated to people time, you know, time, resource, the risk factor, and obviously the criticality of data. And then it's just about process. It's benefiting from the opportunity. So if you consider, I guess, the tiering of your data, but as you say, you might have an archive layer or a layer that's not necessarily needs to be on a performance tier when you move to the next generation of technology. Seeing which file types you've got and which you need to keep, which you could potentially delete, it's just going for that process of all the soft opportunity in addition to the physical hardware purchase.
Yeah, exactly that. And I mean, you know, if you're moving across to new technology and it's got tiering in as part of that technology, then when you move the data across, you can start to look at how you want to tier that data within that new technology. So you can set your policies, you can design it around how you want it to be before you execute it into business as usual. And that's all part of that initial design phase. And that, you know, for us, a migration is not just we'll turn up and move that from there to there. You know, we want to be there from the beginning. So we want to be part of the build process in terms of the new hardware. We want to be able to execute the migration for you, for the customer. And then we also want to be there when they've actually transitioned into business as usual. So we want to be that. It's sort of a three-step process, really. So initial build and test, migrate, and then support as it goes live into the business.
No, fantastic. And obviously, it's, you know, for yourself, it's bread and butter. We've obviously experienced customers who've taken this on themselves and done it successfully, and some who've struggled. And I guess a big part of CAE is being there to help people in any stage of that sort of outcome. Is there any simple ways to engage for yourself if a customer wants to speak to you directly in terms of migration and strategy?
Oh no, absolutely. We welcome that, and I think it's we want to share. If they were like these podcasts, you know, we want to share our experiences with people to give them that confidence. I think because, like I said at the beginning, whenever we talk about migrations, it doesn't matter who you talk to, the business will kind of take a sort of big breath and go, oh yeah, okay, we must talk about that now. But I think so by all means, you know, pick up the phone, drop us an email. You know, we're always happy to have a conversation about that. No problem at all. And even if a business wants to buy hardware and then execute the migration themselves, you know, we're happy to do that as well, because we can offer that advice. In some instances, customers do have enough resource and customers are happy to execute the migration. What we can do is help them build the hardware, make it so that platform is robust enough for the migration to happen. We can also sit and create what we call a migration runbook. We might want to do a couple of test migrations with them to say, this is how we would execute the migration. At that point, they might be happy to carry on and then move across. And then we can offer a couple of consultancy days to help them with that if they get any issues or any questions. And then subsequently, once they do the cutovers, we can then help them transition into business. So it really is sort of a tailored approach, really, to however the customer wants to execute it and what level of risk they want to take on, I guess.
Yeah, we've both also shared that experience of a customer that's brought hardware, taken on the migration themselves, and I know has picked up the phone to you to help them towards the end of their own migration.
Yeah, exactly that. and we're always happy to do that. It's you know, what we'd like to do is kind of give a tailored approach and say, right, we'll execute from beginning to end and support you. But we know that different customers have different people and different support within their organisation. It just depends on how much they want to get involved, really.
No, fantastic. I think it's been a great bit of advice for us. I think what's critical is just that people always consider the data. It's so vital. It's obviously, it's effectively the lifeblood of an organisation. And I know we're both quite passionate about the technology and the customers get the best possible experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All the way.
So thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it, Russ. Once we're allowed to travel again, hopefully we'll catch up on the next project.
Yeah, perfect. Great speaking to you. Thanks very much.
Take care. Thanks. Bye now.
Bye.